scripture comes from Luke, first chapter, 26 through the 38th verse. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked, "since I'm a virgin?" "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left.
Our hearts has come to dwell. God will. This transgression Adam wrapped in us now reveals the one to cleanse our sin. Blessed in thought Jesus, child we
washed away, they're washed away. the sun. We have no less days to sing your praise than when we first begun. Hallelujah, yeah. Hallelujah, yeah. Hallelujah, yeah, oh yeah. Hallelujah, all my stains are washed away.
And this morning I'd like to share with you another message on the subject, Heroes of Christmas. And we're not going to be talking about Santa Claus or the 11 reindeer, however many there are, I forget. But we're going to be talking about Mary this morning. Last week we looked at Joseph. And if we could look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 together, the passage of Scripture that Brother Curtis read, we're going to look at Mary's Christmas, if you will. Or maybe you would like to say how to have a Merry Christmas, a Merry spelled M-A-R-Y. I think Mary can teach us a lot about how to have the right perspective on Christmas. And isn't this beautiful, the manger scene here? We appreciate Mila and Betty working so hard on it. And also, I believe, Christine and Merle and Lynette, I believe, contributed the materials. Did I leave anybody out, Mila? The Ensmingers also contributed some of the decorations here. So, yeah, it just really brings the message home, doesn't it? The words are great, and we need the words. But to have a visual picture of it helps us to visualize what it must have been like for Jesus to be born in a manger. Remember, we're inside. He was outside. So a very rude beginning to his life, we would certainly have to say. But we're going to look at Mary this morning, and I don't want to forget about Jesus. Jesus is all important. But we're going to look at another person who had much to do, I suppose more than any of the rest of the people in the Christmas story, the true Christmas story. Mary was, of course, the mother of Jesus, the human mother. And so we're going to look at what we can learn from her heroic acts. She certainly should have been, or should be recorded as truly a hero of faith that we should emulate, or we should pattern our lives after. There are some very important lessons, I believe, that Mary would have to have, or that God would have us to learn from Mary regarding how we view Christmas. Now, we're in a very commercial society. It's hard to totally isolate ourselves from that. I'm not sure that we even can or should even. But we need to focus on what is most important, and that is, of course, the birth of Christ into this world. And Mary can teach us a lot about how to view that birth, how to not only view it, but how to communicate it to others. So what can we learn about Mary? Well, I believe, first of all, we can learn from her purity. Now, in the Bible, it says here, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now, I believe that's a detail so important that we dare not overlook it. She was a virgin. She was not a perfect virgin. I mean, she wasn't a perfect person. A perfect virgin, yes. But a perfect person, no. She was a sinner. She was a sinner saved by grace, like all of us. She needed the salvation that her child came to bring to all of us. But there is a purity about her that I believe is so important not to overlook, and not to overlook the lessons of that, because we live in a time when Christmas, you know, you can find anything on the Internet. I love computers, but I don't go everywhere on the Internet. I'm very careful about that. And I have safeguards that I don't, stray off the path, because there are so many things, crazy things even, of how Christmas is celebrated today, parties and so forth, that are just I mean, you couldn't even describe the terrible degradation of the name of Christmas in our world today. And it's why we need to be people of purity. People that are certainly blood-bought, bought by the blood of Jesus, who came to die for us on Calvary's cross. But here is a young woman who I think was not only unusual in her time. She would be almost unusual, very unusual in our time. But in her time, I think, even unusual. Here was a woman who was sexually pure. Now, that's very important, a detail that we should not overlook. Not that any of us are perfect in that area, but we need to notice this example of Mary. She was a virgin. She was pure as far as sexual purity was concerned. And I want to just, the Bible says that we are to flee fornication. And you all know what fornication is. And in our world today, it is so prevalent. Pornography, we call it on the internet. Pornography is really a Greek word. You may not have known that. But it means all kinds of sexual immorality and perversion. And it's just really a picture of our world today. We live in the gutter. And it's hard sometimes to get our minds up out of that gutter. But God calls us to a higher life. And I believe it's why He put this young woman by the name of Mary before us, so that we might learn from her example. Last week we looked at Joseph and how he was so honorable in his dealings with Mary. So contrary to the spirit of our times, where people are living together and unmarried, which the Bible calls fornication. So we need to learn, you know, this lesson. It's a hard lesson to learn. Especially in our day, where we're bombarded on all sides by these images. And you know, you can be innocently watching a football game, and some image will come on that, you know, will just be so alluring. And I know we think, or people, the news seems to be preoccupied now with this Tiger Woods scandal. Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of hypocrisy about that. God doesn't expect us to undo what has already been done. He just expects us to live lives of purity now, to go from where we are now and determine that we are going to be like Mary. We're going to be sexually pure. So there's that lesson, I believe. I don't hear anything out there. You're stunned, maybe. Amen. Amen. Well, we're all faulty in this area. But it's so refreshing, isn't it, to look at Mary. Here is a woman who was pure. That was the statement. She was a virgin. And I think it means virgin. I don't think it means that she was just a young woman, because that could mean many things. But she was a virgin. And Isaiah 7:14 says that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Does it not say to us that if we are going to be Christ bearers to our world, that's the name Christopher. I don't think we have any Christophers here, do we? We had a Christopher in our family, a young nephew. He's with the Lord now. But he was truly a Christ bearer. And that's really what that name means. If we are going to be Christ bearers to this world, we need to be pure. We need to be not sinless, because none of us are sinless. Mary wasn't sinless, but she was pure. She was a virgin. There was the announcement here that we're told about. The angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." So there was this blessing, this announcement. I think for our benefit, not just for Mary's benefit, but for our benefit, because God wanted to show here a demonstration of one whose life honored Him. The Bible says, God says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Do we want to be people that God honors? Then we need to be like Mary. We need to have a purity about us that would lift up Christ, because He is pure. He is spotless, without sin. And so we must be pure. There is also an encouragement here, a lesson, if you will. "The Lord is with you," the angel said, the angel Gabriel said. In verse 30, he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Maybe you feel like, why is God treating me this way? And I don't want to suggest that everything bad that happens is, you know, because we've deserved it. Because otherwise, when we look at Jesus and his life, I mean, there are a lot of bad things that happened to Jesus, but he did not deserve it. But I think sometimes we stray from the paths that God would have us to walk. And I have to confess that I do that sometimes. And, well, once a year, let's say. Once a year, those who know me know that I have feet of clay. And I struggle with these same things that you struggle with. This subject of, you know, the thought life, keeping the thoughts pure and honorable. But it's so important, so refreshing, I believe, and so necessary that we have this example of Mary, of her purity, that we might pattern our lives after this pure young woman's life. We can learn also from her polity. Well, you may not know what polity is, but you know what politics are. I'm not sure that Mary was a particularly political person. I think she was probably too young in her life to really be political, as we would say. Political can mean divisive, of course, and certainly there wasn't a divisiveness that I see in Mary. But there was certainly a political truth here. God created Adam and Eve. I believe the literal Adam and Eve, and all of us are the descendants of Adam and Eve. He created a society here on earth, and one day he is going to call us who are his followers, who have made a covenant of faith with Jesus Christ. And we have come to his cross, and we have accepted that finished work of redemption that he did for us. And he is going to gather us together as a people. We are already the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about that in many places in the New Testament. And so he is really that government, isn't he? He's the king. If we could look at that scripture passage there, in verse 32 it says, he, that is this one, this child that was to be born to Mary, and that later we see in the manger, was to be great. Do you remember Isaiah saying that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor? What's the next name? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's polity for you. There's the ruler that we all seek. And it may not be in Washington right now. We're going to be disappointed. I mean, I don't know, you may not be disappointed, but we're going to be disappointed along the way with our leaders, our human leaders. But here is one who is the Son of the Most High. And God will give him the throne of his father David. In other words, Jesus was a descendant of David. Now, you know that's important from a prophetic standpoint, because God said to David, because David was a man after God's heart. He wasn't a perfect man, like all of us. He had as many faults as any of us. He was like Paul. He could have said, I am the chief of sinners. And yet God redeemed him, because David put his trust in God and in the one that was to come to be one of his descendants. God told him, would reign over, not only over Israel, but over all of the world forever. Now that's the polity. There's a religion here. I don't really like the word religion, because religion connotes to most people our striving after God, our striving to try to understand God, to try to be one with God, to try to be approved by God. And that's totally contrary to what Jesus came to bring. He came to bring a salvation that was not based on anything that we do, anything even that we have done that would maybe separate us eternally from God. He came to bring salvation. That's what the name Jesus means. That was all really told to Mary here. And in the Gospel of Matthew, there are some other details that are not found here. It's why we have four Gospels. But there's a religion here, if you will, a faith in Mary. She had a belief that this was going to happen, and she surrendered herself to that grand purpose of God in his universe. I love this time of the year as we think about missions. I think it's so appropriate that we think about giving the greatest gift. We're all about giving gifts at the Christmas season. Well, how do we give the greatest gift? We give because God gave his greatest gift to us, didn't he? In the person of his Son. And so we want others to come to know him as Savior. It's not going to be enough for us to think, well, you know, other people have their religion. who knows? Maybe they're going to get to heaven their own way. You can think that. But just thinking it doesn't mean it's true. Because the Bible says there's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's no other name, the Bible says, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. No other was born like that. No other walked a sinless life, lived a sinless life, and then died on a cruel cross and endured the wrath of God because the Bible says our sins were placed upon Him. And then He rose triumphant over the grave. There's no other leader like that. I've studied some of the world religions. I could not be a follower of just any religion. This isn't any religion. It's a way. That's why the Bible calls it the way of life, of eternal life. So there's a religion. There's a regent, and of course a king. And that regent is Jesus, and a reign forever and ever. He wants you to be in that forever kingdom. And if you've never made your peace with God through trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you invite Him into your life? Make Him your reigning King, King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But make your peace with God today. Don't wait till that time because it'll be too late. So there's a purity that we can learn from and a polity, also a piety. There was a conversation in that piety. It tells me that Mary was accustomed to communing with her Heavenly Father. I think that channel of communication was already open. And so if you saw an angel, the angel Gabriel, you would have been afraid to, like she was. But there's a certain calmness here, isn't there, about Mary. And her, it's mind-boggling what she was told. And it shows me that here was a young woman who had her foundation in the things of God, in the things of His Word, in the prophecies of His Word. And she understood the ways that God was moving in her world. And so there's a conversation here, certainly a consecration. She said, I am the Lord's servant. And actually the word there is slave. If you have a Holman Christian Standard Bible, it actually translates it that way. Most don't because it sounds a little harsh to our ears today. But really it means that. It means, I am the Lord's slave. It's the same word, incidentally, that Paul used when he began every letter with this salutation. Paul, the servant, it says in most of our Bibles, but it really means the slave of Jesus Christ. So there's a consecration here. Consecration means that she was set apart. She set her life apart by a deliberate act of her will to do the will of God and to be at His disposal. And so there's a consecration that we can learn from. There's a conformation, if you will. The Bible says we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I think it means that we also willingly become conformed to the will of God. We have to be conformed to something. And we're going to be either conformed to this world and the things of this world, and our thinking is going to be colored by everything that goes on in this world, or we're going to be like Mary. We're going to be willing to let God take over our lives, invade our lives. Can you imagine this was literally true with Mary? Not in a physical sense, as some, I believe, very erroneously teach, but in a spiritual sense, because we're not told all the details here. But somehow God miraculously put that embryo in Mary that grew to be a baby that was born. And that baby was born in a manger, became the humblest of men, was the humblest of men. He just humbled himself when he came out of eternity and stepped into time. And he conformed himself to the Father's will. He said, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, your law is written upon my heart. And may we, like Mary, understand that that calls for our surrender, our willingness to be conformed to our Father's will, and like Mary to say, Let it be to me as you have said, I am the Lord's servant.